And we're joined right now on the phone from down in St. Paul by Chris Niskanen, who has been on with us before. Chris, of course, for many years was outdoors reporter for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He is now communications director for the Minnesota DNR. He's got a new book out, and it is on Minnesota Historical Society Press. The name of it is The Minnesota Book of Skills. And as I said to Ann earlier, while I don't normally like subtitles, this one is great. Your Guide to Smoking Whitefish, Sauna Etiquette, and Tick Extraction, and more. Chris, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. When Ann first gave me this book, I have to admit, I kind of glanced at it, and I thought, do we need another book on how to talk Minnesotan? But this, what a fabulous book, and I mean that sincerely. I have had a chance to read through it, and every time I open it up, I find something new and even more fun. So, congratulations, first of all. It's really a fun book.
Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
What was the impetus for it? How did you happen to think, you know, is there something about, do you think somebody's doing a book like this for Virginians? I mean, is there something about living in Minnesota or being Minnesotan that you know, we ought to have a handbook? We ought to have a book that tells us, you know, it's almost like, what about Minnesotans is unique that these skills are they unique to us?
Well, I absolutely, I think they're unique to us, and you know, we live close to nature.
Yep.
Not everyone in the United States has that opportunity, and we're blessed. You know, whether you live down here in St. Paul and you got a bird feeder out, or you live up on the North Shore, you see nature and you participate in it. You canoe and you bird watch and you tap maple trees, and it's just part of what we do around here. We also have a really strong immigrant heritage. So a lot of our ancestors in more modern times, new immigrants to Minnesota, bring a lot of skills that make us unique as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandmother was from Finland, and she brought the sauna tradition to the United States with her family, and passed that down to me and my family. So, and the other thing that, it makes us somewhat unique, we have a real strong agricultural heritage, and you see that on display, at 4-H and at your county fair, and of course at the state fair,
sure.
So I was kind of inspired by all of those things and started thinking about, if I had to parachute out of an airplane and land in Minnesota, what would I need to know? And what are some of the things I'd be interested in knowing? I might never do them in my lifetime, but they fascinate me.
Yeah, it might be good to have a passing, at least a passing knowledge of them.
Sure, you bet.
Now, how did it, that kind of tells us how you got to this book, but, the other thing is, I've always believed that a cover of a book should make you want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But quite frankly, a picture of three, well, let's see. I'm assuming they are. They're Finnish. Naked guys in a sauna. I'm not too sure that's
going to... Did that catch your eye?
That's a great photo. It really is an even better part of it.
It's a historic photo, and it's a bunch of old-timers up on the Iron Range sitting in a sauna.
In Jacob Hoika's farm.
Yep.
Yep, that's fabulous. 1960. Those guys should be clothed, even though your instructions for going into the sauna are pretty
right.
much don't be clothed. But how did you come up? There's 75 different skills in here,
mm-hmm.
or
yep.
things to do, or whatever you want to call them. How long did it take you to think up the 75, and were there probably more? Did you just end at 75?
Well, actually, when I started, this was kind of something I'd been thinking about through most of my career at the St. Paul Pioneer Press, but it really didn't start to gel until about 2 years ago when, I left the paper and I was looking for a project to do for a book, and I came up with 40 skills, and I took them to the publisher, and I said, what do you think of this? How to tap maple trees and harvest wild rice, and
mm-hmm.
I got all the low-hanging fruit, as it were. And they loved the idea, and they said, well, can you add 10 more and get to 50? And I'm like, oh, sure. So I started thinking about sauna etiquette, portaging etiquette. I started looking for the things that, nobody had actually written much about. And there's a chapter in there on how how to take a spouse or your partner who's never been to the Boundary Waters and make sure they have a good experience. I'd never heard that. I'd never read that before.
Yep.
So I got to 50, and then the publisher said, well, how about 75? Could you do 75? And so I started going, well, yeah. And then I started talking to my friends talking to other, paddling partners and, hunters and, fishing guides. And then I got to 75. And then I sat down in a room with the publisher again, and we got to 100. And so then we kind of high-graded them, Mm-hmm. And so we were looking for the things that hadn't been written about much. How to make lutefisk is not on the list.
No, it's not.
And, we talked about that, and I thought, well, there are lots of really good books that talk about that. So I'm not going to go there. You can get that information someplace else. So I wanted to find the things that interest me as a Minnesotan, and I thought would also interest other people.
Well, and I think you did a great job, and you're right. I mean, in today's world, in today's information world, one can go online, I'm assuming, and get, all sorts of information about this or that or the other thing. But there's lots of things in here that I'm not too sure that people... Well, first of all, there is the immediate connection to Minnesota. And the other great thing about it is, you're right, these are things that whether you live up here in Cook County or in southwest Minnesota or in the Twin Cities, you've got things on biking, various things as far as boating and nature and everything that could apply any place. And so that's really cool. Some of my favorite ones, I was telling Ann off the air, my dad used to pickle northern.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved it. And because I don't like northern as a fish to eat cooked. I don't. But pickled northern is terrific. And my dad passed away a number of years ago, and I always thought, geez, I wish I'd asked my dad how he did that. I pick up your book. Here it is. How to pickle, do your own pickling.
How to pickle fish.
Yeah,
and
fabulous.
That was a pretty easy one to come to because, these home skills, canning and, drying things, using food dehydrators. I kind of had a couple of hippie parents, and so growing up in the 70s, we did a lot of that kind of stuff. Well, it's becoming popular again.
Sure.
And not just, with people who are moving back to the land, but people who live in urban areas who want to know where their food comes from.
Yep.
And I think that's a great idea.
Well, I'm thrilled, very honestly. The thing that struck me, and actually I know the answer to this question because I read it in your introduction, but clearly some of the instructions that you've got, and the other nice thing is these don't burden people. I mean, these are quick and to the point.
Yep.
If you need more, you're going to have to look elsewhere, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be spoon-fed. But clearly you didn't just go online and find these instructions. You talked to somebody that knew how to do all these. If you didn't know how to do it, and even if you did, you talked to somebody that did know how to do it.
Well, that's true, and I, when I was a writer at the paper, I was really interested in telling people's stories and, their relationship to nature and their experiences hunting and canoeing. That always makes for a much interesting story, and so I thought, well, if I did a how-to book, how can I make it more interesting? Because there's a lot of how-to books out there, and I couldn't get away from the fact that these skills are really tied to people who have fascinating stories.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So for example, I wanted to do a piece on how to build a backyard hockey rink.
Right.
And I've seen them, driving around. You see the lights in people's backyards, and you see the kids skating around. And so I found a couple, and they have three boys. And I called them up and went and met with them. And they told me just the greatest story about how, dad had gone and learned how to do this and had met a bunch of other dads, and they sort of created a club, and they built hockey rinks for each other in their backyards. But then they started talking about how their hockey rink had become a focus for the neighborhood. A young couple down the road, would come over. They'd just been married, and they'd hold hands and skate around in the rink, and the elderly couple down the road would say, gee, we really love the sound of children's voices on a cold winter evening while they're slapping the puck around. So it became clear to me that it was not just a how-to book, but about how these skills enrich our lives. And when we do things with someone else, like can green beans with your grandma, or build a hockey rink and invite your neighbors over, it becomes more than just your knowledge. It becomes your sharing that experience with someone else. And that's kind of what the whole book became about.
Yeah, that's great. Now, as you mentioned, there are a variety of things in here, which some of which you'd kind of expect, you know, about snowshoeing, field dressing a deer. You've got others that are a little more unusual, and I want you to talk about them, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about sauna etiquette.
Well,
remember, please, this is a public radio station and a family show.
Well, people are really, unlike Europeans, you know, Americans are a little prudish about nudity. And so my wife and I, when we got married, we moved into a house out in the country, and I asked her, I said, you know, what would you rather have, a spare bathroom or a sauna? And she said, well, I'd love to have a sauna. So I built this really beautiful, authentic Finnish sauna in our backyard, and we started inviting our friends over, and it became really clear to me that there's this awkward moment. When you invite someone to come sit in your sauna, it's like they go, well, tell me, am I supposed to wear a swimsuit? Not. And it actually became kind of funny because some of our friends and would say, well, you know, don't go over to Niskanen's because you might have to get naked, you know. And I found it kind of amusing, and you know, we don't have any electricity in our sauna, so it's lit with candles. And you know, when you go sit in the sauna, and the last thing you're thinking about is how somebody looks naked. I mean, you're there to
too busy
enjoy,
sweating.
You're just sweating, and you're there to enjoy the quiet, the conversation with someone, and you're sweating, and it's just a really relaxing experience, and it's not a place where you talk about weight gain and loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my tips, you know, because we're so self-conscious, and, you know, I'd hear, you know, my wife would tell me that, you know, she'd go down with a bunch of her girlfriends, and they'd be sitting there without their clothes on, and someone, you know, would say, well, I've gained a lot of weight, you know, and who cares, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you
right.
know, and
right.
So I talk about that. I talk about swimsuit or not swimsuit.
Right. You also talk about that you say that, and you maybe you can comment on this, one behaves inside a sauna as one would inside a church.
Exactly. Yep, no swearing, no talking loud. You know, we try to avoid politics,
uh-huh.
you know, because we have friends of all political persuasions.
Sure.
And so it's there to just contemplate and enjoy each other's company, and it's actually really enlightening, and I've heard great conversations in the sauna that you would never probably hear anywhere else because people literally let down their guard.
That's probably true, and I think your advice here is excellent. It's be sure to bring a water bottle and your good humor to
yeah,
the sauna.
Exactly.
that's great.
You talk about the conversations, Chris, when I've gone to the public sauna here in Grand Marais.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard the most amazing conversations, and I've always wanted to bring an audio recorder, but where would I put it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was in college at the University of Minnesota, I went on a foreign abroad study program, and I went to Finland, and I wrote a big paper about the history of the public sauna. And in Finland, there was a very specific job in each little town, and it was held by a woman known as the washerwoman. And she worked in the public sauna, and she, for a small fee, she'd come over and she'd scrub your back. You know, give you a good scrub, have a big brush, and just, you know, exfoliate you. And I found a couple of these ladies who had great stories to tell about their place in their communities. And they knew everybody's secrets. And while you're getting scrubbed down, you could talk to them. And it was kind of like your barber. and the mayor, you know, would tell tell the problems he was having with the city council, and you know, there were marital things discussed among spouses with the washerwoman, and they kept all of this information in really close to their vest, and they would never tell secrets. And that's what made them such an important person in that community. So
kind of like the bartender.
Like the bartender. Yep, exactly.
We're visiting with Chris Niskanen, who is the communications director for the Minnesota DNR and author of a brand new book, the Minnesota Book of Skills. Now, you've also got one in here, and I thought this was great, on how to back up a trailer. Now, that's
information
that people absolutely have to have. You got very good instructions, but I got to take issue with you on one part.
Yes.
First of all, you say, you know, line it up. Make sure, you know, you pull up enough so you kind of got it lined up, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, as you're backing up, try picking a target spot between you and your destination. Try hitting the target spot first, then stop and assess. If you don't have the correct angle to go further, pull forward slightly, straighten the vehicle and trailer, and try again. Chris, you're not dealing with the male ego here. There is only one shot when you're backing up the trailer. You cannot embarrass yourself in front of all those guys waiting to bring their boats out at the landing. You got to get her the first time. So that's why your idea of going to the parking lot and practicing is very, very good, because you cannot embarrass yourself with a trailer.
How many, I mean, here again, this is a source of marital discord. How many times have you been at the boat ramp where you've seen, you know, the wife behind the wheel and the husband giving her directions? And
or vice versa.
They're not having fun.
No.
Nope. There might even be a few expletives.
Expletives flying is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. It's just, and you'll get, this wasn't the same thing, but I was trying to guide a houseboat in one time in the dark, and my son's on shore giving me instructions, and he's going, more to the left, more to the left. Who's left? Because he's looking at me, or he would go this way, go this way. I can't see him. It's dark, you know, and that's kind of what you get.
What are you talking about?
Backing up the trailer, the same thing as, you know, which right are you talking about? So I thought that was great.
I did exactly. I took my advice, and when I bought my first trailerable boat, I went to a parking lot, a Kmart parking lot, and I just backed it up in all kinds of strange places.
Yep.
Nobody was around, and it was, you know, a Sunday evening or something like that. And I tell you, there's no greater feeling when you've got the confidence that when you pull up to that boat ramp.
A skinny boat ramp. Yep.
And you can almost close your eyes and put that truck in reverse and just glide her right in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it, you know, you kind of have to pat yourself on the back, but you can never, ever take it for granted. So many times I've been in a hurry, and you just jackknife it a little bit, And then you're up against that pine tree.
Either that, or you've backed one of the wheels of the trailer off the concrete landing into the sand.
Oh yeah,
and that's always good too. And the one thing you're giving instructions on is something that I've never been able to do. And I can back up a trailer. I've always been somewhat proud of myself talking about patting on the back, but I can't use my mirrors. I've never been, to me, when I look in those mirrors, everything literally goes backwards, and there's just no way I can do it.
Well, if you came and you drove around the Twin Cities for a couple of days and all you did was drive on the freeway, you'd learn how to use your mirrors pretty quick.
I'm sure that's true. Now, the other fun part about this book, Chris, and I don't want to hold you up too long, is the connection to Cook County.
Yes.
There are a number of people that you talk about. My good friend Randy Schnobrick,
yep,
of course, teaches a class at North House on building your own casket. And Doc and Diane Peterson, who make sausage, and of course the connection to North House Folk Show. And Eric Simula, building birch bark canoes.
Exactly.
So that's really been fun. That was really fun for me as I looked through the book to find that connection.
Well, if Eric or the Petersons or Randy are listening tonight, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with the world and putting up with my constant emails to you asking you, you know, repeated questions, you know, clarify this point, clarify that point. They were really great people to work with. And great people to have in your community.
Yes, they are. Yes,
and
they are.
I just, Randy in particular, was just had such a thoughtful thing to say about his experiences in teaching the how to build a coffin class. And I had read about that class a lot. And, you know, it's kind of an eye-catcher chapter.
Yes, it is.
It is.
DIY your own cat.
DIY death rituals.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add on to it a little farther and find out really what are the laws around, you know, burying your loved ones on your own property.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the Minnesota Department of Health, and they've got a really great website where they talk about this. And it's not as easy as you might think. If you want to bury a loved one and you want to do it, you know, by the book, you have to declare a cemetery plot on your land and get approval either from your township or county or other local board that, you know, governs this sort of thing. And I suppose the whole idea is that if you go to sell your property, the next owner would know that there's somebody buried back there.
Aunt Maud is in the back 40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was a great chapter and a lot of fun to write. And it's interesting when I talk about it, the reactions that people get, because some people are really turned off by this idea of building your own casket and doing, you know, burials on your own property. I think it makes sense. And I'm sure maybe a lot of, you know, your listeners up there think it makes sense. So
yeah, that's, unfortunately, we don't have enough soil to do that in most parts of the county. the other thing that I thought, well, there were, again, a number of things that were great about this book, but talking about the various phrases, just a few phrases in Ojibwe and also in Dakota.
Yep.
And for me, and it always is that wonderful connection to, again, where we live. So as you travel around the state or look at a map, which is one of my favorite things to do, there's that, and you, interestingly, have the meaning of a lot of those, and that makes it really fun, too. Is it available on bookstands yet?
Yes, it's available in all major bookstores and online. I'm really excited to announce it's going into its second printing already.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's really caught fire here, and I'm sure it's stocked. I know the Historical Society Press distributes the book a lot up in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find it, you can get it from Amazon. And look on the Historical Society's website, and I'm doing a lot of appearances, you know, this year and next. And please come track me down, and I'd love to sign your book.
Well, and maybe we can talk to somebody up here and get you up this way, too.
That'd be great.
That would be wonderful. We've been visiting with Chris Niskanen. Next summer, when I catch a northern, I'm going to pickle it, and I'm going to let you know how I did.
Will I'll you invite me over?
Absolutely.
And have some cheese and crackers, and we'll eat some?
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Chris Niskanen is the author of Minnesota Book of Skills, Your Guide to Smoking Whitefish, Sauna Etiquette, Tick Extraction, and More on Minnesota Historical Society Press. Chris, once again, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.